The Survivor Specialists are back, and today we are predicting episode number 6 of Survivor 48. I am live with Saul Daddy. That's right, Saul Daddy. That's what it says right
Saul
there.
Saul Daddy, baby.
Blowing kisses, ready to go, ready to believe what's going to happen in this episode of Survivor. Pretty compelling season. Excited to dive into all of this. Do you know, I don't know if this ever made it its way across your desk or not, at the Bryson Wen event in New Orleans last year, Gabler was there during your season, and he was convinced you were going to win. But he kept on saying that it wasn't Saul who was going to win. He kept calling you Saul the Wrecking Ball. Did that ever make its way across your desk? Did you know that?
It did. And okay, I was honored because I'll come in like a wrecking ball. So I love Gabler. Gabler is one of my favorite people on the planet. Dude gave $1 million away. I actually said this in Fiji during the game, that I thought that that was one of the greatest acts of human kindness ever. Like, who get, and I'm in the same field as Gabler in terms of our occupation. So I know what kind of money Gabler's making, like roughly. And like, dude gave $1 million away, like an amazing guy. And then he's saying that about me. I was blown away. He might have been a little biased because of what we do for a living. And I also mentioned Gabler in my pregame interviews. So we were connected in that way. But yeah, it did make it across my desk.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. Do we get to find out where Saul Daddy came from? Was that like pre-Survivor or was that just Survivor?
That's just my own ego pumping myself up, you know. Okay. That's it.
I know throughout the season as things started to develop on that initial tribe, I know that X and other forms of social media really did start to be like, all right, Saul Daddy. I feel like that started to happen a little bit.
Oh yeah. And then my wife made this poster for me and it says Island Daddy on the second one. So yeah, I'm just feeding my own ego is all.
I love that. What are the fake film festivals at the top of that?
So those are actual quotes that were found on Reddit. I don't know if you can read that, but the first one says, I know that guy, literally everyone at CrossFit Norwalk. And then it says Island Daddy, a random girl on Reddit, and intriguing and mysterious dude with the podcast. So maybe that was you, Phil.
I don't know. I don't know if I said intriguing and mysterious about you. I wish it was, but I don't think that was Rob. Okay. Okay. Yeah. I was going to say, I don't think I can claim that. Although after like episode 3 of last season, I was like, okay, I'm intrigued by Saul. He is mysterious. Yeah. Where the heck is the guy? But you're watching this season now for the first time since playing the game. You got to play the game. You go out there, you do it. Now you're watching season 48. And during your season, we had this wonderful game of, I don't know, what do you want to call it? Follow the leader, where Rome just followed you in a circle and like wouldn't give you a space of breath. And then we have Say and Mary almost having the same situation on this season. Were you getting PTSD? Were you laughing at this one? What was your take watching almost the same thing play out?
I was getting a little PTSD, to be honest. And then I came back down to earth and realized that they're different in that you feel like Say and Mary have a respect for each other, a respect for the game, the way that they're playing. They appreciate the way that both of them are playing. While Rome and I did not have that. Rome and I just did not get along. We did not like each other. We played together when we needed to play it, but we probably did it with, you know, some voices in the back of our heads going, I can't believe I have to do this. So it's similar in some ways, but different. Majority of it is different.
Yeah. Because as I watched that take place, that was the comparison I just kept thinking of. And then they're laughing, being like, wow, but like game respects game and whatever. But then part of me is saying, are they being sarcastic? Like, do they really mean this at this point? Are these two just like losing their minds over what they're currently going through? And the fact that now we're about to hit a merge and those two are about to get back together in some way. I'm curious if they're going to bond. Or if one of them may go the way of Rome, like could say.
I'm so curious too, because it felt like they were going to bond after the episode before last until the tribe swap. It felt like it was going to happen, and it felt like Cedric was going to be at the bottom of their tribe. So I'm interested to see how that's going to play out too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I feel like that's probably one of the biggest conversations going into this week. I mean, obviously, I don't know if you noticed this, but for the first time in the history of Survivor, they re-aired an episode. Did you notice?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just chilling at home. And then here comes Jeff saying, we're going to replay it. And at first, my initial reaction was like, okay, I can just watch it on my five things that I can rewatch it on. But I think it's honoring how incredible that episode was. An episode that I have never seen before, or that type of episode I've ever seen before. I cried my ass off like the planet Earth did. So mm-hmm. I think it's really, really cool. And that they are doing something outside the box. And it's a good thing for the community.
Yeah, it is. And I thought that was pretty compelling, because then when my friend texted me that I was working last night, my friend texted me, he goes, they're re-airing the episode. I was like, but March Madness is on. What are you talking about? Like, March Madness always is on CBS. March Madness was on TBS last night. So TBS had March Madness on. So, like, you know, I guess it's all owned by Turner to get too into inside baseball. But they have March Madness on TBS, and then they have one of the best episodes of Survivor airing on CBS on the Saturday night. I never really thought that that would be something that would happen in my lifetime. Like Survivor on a Saturday night.
Right. I literally thought the same thing, as like Survivor's going to be on prime time on Saturday night.
Yeah.
And I was on that show. That's what yeah.
I know. You were like, damn, I should have been a season later. I could have been on prime time Saturday night TV. You know,
I do think about that, because I could have been on 48, but I wanted to get out there so badly that no, I want to go now. That's what I was mm-hmm. thinking. But knowing the people that are on 48, I do think about what would have happened if I would have been on 48, and who would have been on 47 from 48. So yeah, it's always that what a shoulda, woulda, coulda, what if game.
Who do you think would have been the person from 48 that you would have, like, who do you think your pairing was? You know,
probably Joe. I don't think there would be two guys. We're both in our, I don't know how old Joe is, but I think he's like 45 maybe. But in his 40s, both bigger guys. I think we have a lot of similar traits that we represent in our edits and in real life. Mm-hmm. So I think Joe.
Gotcha.
What do you think? Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I just wasn't sure. I'm trying to think, because I know that they don't like really look into your physical prowess as much nowadays as they used to, like in terms of evening out the tribes and stuff. So then part of me was also like, could you have been Cedric, where it was like cerebral?
Yeah.
I'm going to be that guy. Sure.
Cedric, maybe. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So you could have started off. Go ahead.
I used to sell the staplers that Cedric uses in his procedures. So, you know, I know a lot, the butt staplers. Yeah.
Okay. So, wow, this is full circle moment for me. I've had to have the colon resection done.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I'm not making light of it anymore. I was kind of.
No. So what makes me laugh is I'm watching a guy on TV who is the type of doctor that I needed. And now here you are with, like, I sold the stapler. So I'm saying, thank you. Whatever staplers you sold, if you sold them in the Del Rey area of Florida, they worked well. So good job.
Well, I'm glad that they worked. Yeah. Did you have it done open or laparoscopic?
Laparoscopic. Thank God.
Very good. Very good. Yes.
Everything was good. I looked like, my friends called me Biggie Phil for a couple of days, because I looked like I had bullet holes like down my whole stomach. It was the ladder of bullet holes. So, but I'm good. I'm good now. Yeah, it's so funny to hear this stuff. I know my wife went up to Cedric at the premiere event, and she said to him, she's like, I thought it was really funny how you said the thing about the butt doctor. My husband over there, he had to get that surgery done. And it's always the weirdest one to have to tell people about. Cause you like, you get knee surgery. Yeah. People are like, whatever. But then it's like, part of my colon got taken out. They're like, well, that's gross.
Right.
Like, you're a gross person. So here we are. There you go. Full circle. Okay. Okay. Saul, well, good job selling. Like I said, if you sold them down here, you did a good job, because I had no issues. So I appreciate that.
But, yeah, I love it.
So I've been wanting to ask this question as somebody who actually played the game. And so you're the first person who's coming on here, who played the game, who's coming onto the podcast that I'm having a chance to talk to you since last week's episode. So I think the biggest thing I'm taking away from last week's episode from a game perspective is, you know, have somebody like Eva, who we see Star let her guard down so much here, where she's just like, I respect you. You're amazing. I can't believe this. Go figure out this idol thing. Like, let's do it together. I want to team up with you. I want to be a part of this. But to the point of, here's an idol. You see other people kind of being like, wow, I can't believe this is amazing, all that. You're out there and something like this happens. How do you reconcile that with the game to continue to move forward and still say, I got to beat Eva at the end of this because I want to win $1 million? Or are you really the Joe from the season and you're like, I'll fall on the sword. Like, Eva's got this. How do you do that when you're in this, playing this game, understanding everybody's a competitor?
Man, I could sit here and like give you what I'm really thinking in terms of just my brain, but then my heart goes into it. Mm-hmm. And that's what really, for me, I played a lot with my heart. And I think there's so many factors that go into the decisions that you make that you will never experience on the television. And this is definitely one of them. Like, Star giving that idol away. We don't know how this is going to play out, right? It could be an incredible move. It could be the dumbest move. I tried to come in before the game of Survivor of if I were to get an idol, I wanted to play it for other people because I felt like it would be an amazing opportunity to create bonds, create trust, not just for one tribal council, like an idol will do for you, right? And if that's the way Star is thinking about it right now, good for her. However, there's this huge thing that only these people on the island will understand what that moment was like. And for that moment to carry itself over into the moment when they're trying to, uncover the puzzle for the idol, and she's going to give that away to Eva. Emotions were running high for sure. I think it was a mistake, but I totally see why she did that, because I mean that was such a powerful moment in Survivor history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I know a lot of people were talking about actually it could have been a good move from Star anyway. If David Dubel down here says I stand on Star giving the idol away being a good move, I think that some people were looking at it as, well, everybody knows the idol's there,
right?
So if you're Star, what benefit is it really giving you to sit there with the idol in your pocket? Everybody's going to know you have it, and if you're coming up to emerge, that actually might just put a target on your back where people say, I'm going to vote Star out. Now, I don't think there was any game theory going on in Star's brain when she did this, but that could actually benefit her in the long run, where they say, not only is Eva potentially the favorite to win this game, she also has an idol. That's scary.
Yeah. Now that you bring those points up, who was that? Dave?
Yeah. Dave wrote that. David here. Yeah.
Dave Dublé.
Yep.
He says he saw you at elimination. About that part, because everyone does know about that idol. And that was the mistake that Star was making. That was the mistake. I think Dave just made it a point and proved to me that giving it away was a good move, now that I think about it that way.
Yeah. And so when you see that take place, what's your feeling on Eva, Joe? They're getting back together this week. Star and Eva have now bonded.
Yeah.
You know, you see somebody like David in this moment who points at Joe, and Joe kind of gives him a point back, which I feel like, you know, as like those bigger guys, I feel like that's just like the ultimate form of respect that you can give when you can't talk to each other. Do you feel that this is going to be everybody kind of bonding with Eva now in this initial portion and kind of getting back and saying, okay, how can we make this work? Or do you think that there will be a target on Eva's back because they're all playing Survivor? Like, how do you see that going? And maybe try to take your own head out of it, but what do you think with this cast?
I think with this cast, because the moment was so powerful for them, and I felt their emotions on the screen, because of that, I think this is going to ride on the Eva train for at least a week, maybe two. I think there's nobody on this cast that is so ruthless after what they just saw that they're going to then take her out of this game. I don't see anyone doing something like that right now. I think it's going to last about a week, maybe two. And then at that point, she's free game.
Yeah. Get her to at least the jury phase of the game. Cause I'm assuming 13 and 12 are again going to miss the jury, and that we're probably at 13 here going to have a similar vote, not similar in terms of how many people will vote, but we'll have a similar situation to what happened with Rome last season at his final 13, where everybody, it's your typical, like, one person is safe, everybody else can be voted for. And then at final 12, they'll do the whole, like, split them up or have like half the people safe or however they want to do it this season. But
I do think that people will be having conversations when they're one-on-one being like, dude, how cool was that moment? And they'll be like, oh, that was so amazing. Wow. We got to do that. Then they'll settle down a little bit and go, man, everyone's loving her right now. And we'll see who has those conversations.
Yeah. No, I'm curious who's going to be the first one who tries to make the move against Eva, because I'm sitting here thinking, and I've always said with Survivor, 99.9% of things are fair in Survivor. You're going out there, you're putting yourself on TV. You know, you could be viewed as a villain, a hero. Your past history could come out, whatever. People could use whatever they want against you. But at the end of the day, I feel like when you're on the island and you're playing the game, whatever you need to do to get a little bit further, we saw that in the early seasons of like bad people going far in the game because they were willing to be a little bit more ruthless.
Yeah.
So I feel that way. But then even in my head, I'm like, if I was out there with Eva right now, am I willing to be the person who comes out and says, guys, let's take out Eva, and then come home, know that episode's coming, and sit there after what just took place and go on any of these social media sites and be like, I'm going to be the guy who took out Eva.
I don't feel
like that's a fun place to be in.
No. And I think they all understand the magnitude of what happened on that beach and look, that was probably way longer than what we saw. Who knows how long that episode of hers was, you know? And your heart is probably like breaking. And so, yeah, I wouldn't want to be that first person either.
Yeah. So let's shift gears a little bit here before we actually dive into the power rankings. I got to ask you about Cedric. Yeah. What are you taking away from the Cedric gameplay, considering he's been the one who's just, he's had his hand on the guillotine the entire time?
Yeah.
But is he making the right moves in your opinion? Was it the right decision last week to boot Bianca? Or do you think he should have gotten rid of Say?
This is a tough one because I love Bianca and I get what she was doing. You know, you're in a spot to where you're trying to win this game. And she took a risk and it didn't work out for her. I don't like the move by Cedric. I would have kept Bianca because as a guy who played out there, who did not get many of these olive branches of trust and peace, like when you get that opportunity and just squash it in a matter of minutes, I just don't think that's the best strategic move because you're taking away someone who literally is giving their game to you. They're telling you, yo, I'm handing you my game on a platter. What you gonna eat it or are you gonna throw it away? And I don't like it.
It's funny because, you know, obviously when you do this podcast, there's so many of the diehard fans who are here in the chat every week or who will message on Twitter or whatever. And, you know, even like some of my closer friends now, they will follow the show more closely because they know that like it's something like I've gotten them into or whatever. But then you still have like when people know you do the podcast, you get those casual viewers who they watch intermittently. They might miss an episode here or there, but they'll always bring it up to you because they know you do it. And so I've had so many casual viewers since the Justin boot and now with the Say boot who have said to me, why is he keeping around the person he's tried to vote out twice? And that's the craziest part to me. And like when casual, like people who aren't looking at the strategy of the game in the way that the podcast community and stuff are dissecting this, every breath you take, we're sitting there going, was that the right way to breathe there? When people who are very casually watching it are saying that, it just leads me to believe like he can't be making the right choices then because everybody is seeing Say is like, even if it wasn't Say, if you get your name written down, we saw this happen to you. You literally got voted out of the game by Genevieve because Genevieve said he wrote my name down. So I had to make that happen. And so it's hard to ever get over that. And I feel like Cedric's just missing that Say is going to hold a grudge, even if it's one that doesn't come to fruition until final five or final six.
Yeah. Say is, she's great television. But she, that's it. You hear her say, Cedric wrote my name down. Mm-hmm. And Bianca did not. And Bianca also lost Thomas. So Bianca's looking for a number one. And Cedric said, nah, I'm good.
And do you think there's going to be a fallout with the fact that Chrissy of all people was in on this? Like Mitch had no idea.
Yes. That's the other thing is like, why? Look, we don't know the scenario of how Cedric got to tell Chrissy, but he didn't tell Mitch. He didn't tell Say. If you're going to tell anyone, I feel like you got to tell Say because Say's going to get pissed. She's already pissed, you know? And now I'm really pumped up about that. I want to know what her response is.
This better not be one of those episodes. Cause I know a lot of times when the merge episode happens, the episode will just start with, oh, we're merging. Like, woohoo. Yay. This better have the fallout of that tribal council start the episode. Just like they did a very good job with it last week after Thomas went home. And then the episode starts with Kyle and Shaheen and Camilla and Joe having that conversation. I feel like this episode needs to have that because I need to see. I absolutely need to see Say's reaction because Say writes down Chrissy's name and Chrissy looks at her and says, remember, there were only four votes. Did you notice she didn't have a vote? And literally stuck her neck out there to save Say. And I wonder if Cedric would have told Say, would Say have said, okay, let's both vote for Bianca? Or would she have said, I still want to vote for Chrissy? And maybe that's why Cedric didn't ultimately tell her.
That's a great question. Would she have been like, why didn't Bianca tell me? Mm-hmm. Let's get her out. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Who knows?
Yeah, it's a mess. I mean, it's been fun to watch, but the fact that Cedric, we know deep down.
Say would have been pissed that she did not get the word from Bianca, and mm-hmm. Bianca's going home.
That's true. It's the same situation, huh?
Yeah, we know. Yeah,
and you have a better understanding because you actually played. But when Bianca's telling Cedric this, and Cedric's saying like we're minutes from tribal council. And then he only has time to tell Chrissy, and we don't see that in the edit. Do you think that was because they were so close to going to tribal? Or do you think that there was a confessional or something that was left out? Do you think that they didn't even have time to go to confessional at that point for Chrissy to sit down?
I don't think they had enough time to go to confessional. Like, even in the scene, it's the sun is setting. Mm-hmm. And they have to do it. You have to get there in time before this. I don't remember exactly, but yeah. There was no confessional done. I would bet on it. Mm-hmm. So it was minutes before.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And if Bianca doesn't tell Cedric, Bianca's still in the game.
Yep.
No doubt, man.
But she's got, to her point, she's got three people who do not trust her one bit. Mm-hmm. So she's looking out for her future. That's what makes Survivor so great is like there's no right or wrong answer.
Yeah. Yeah, because then it's new Mario brother says Bianca says in her ex interview that she watched Cedric like a hawk and he never had the opportunity to speak with Chrissy. So how does Chrissy find out? There has to be something. Has to be.
Sometimes a hawk has blind spots.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm getting philosophical on you, Phil.
I like that. I like that. There you go. All right. So we're down to the final 13. We're going to rank these players now. So we'll go like one person at a time and you kind of give your reasoning and everything. Number one is who you think is the safest all the way down to 13 is who you think is going to go home. And we'll just dive in and you're getting a tough episode because you're getting the merge episode. And the merge episode is always a crapshoot because we don't know how all these people are going to handle each other when they get together. But
yeah.
I guess my question before we even dive into the ranking, my last one to you here is, do you think that we are going to see the tribal feuds come to a head? And by that, I mean, Say was looking at Cedric as like, maybe I should vote Cedric out of the game. And you had other people like, you know, David and Charity are kind of going at it a little bit over there. Star and Eva were going at it. Do you think we're still going to see those kinds of, we started on the same tribe, we didn't like each other, so we're going to try to vote each other out? Or do you think that we're going to see Loggy and Vula and Siva all kind of team up in their own way? And we will see those tribes kind of get back together for this vote.
I think that there's going to be a mix of both. I know that's a boring answer, but what's the green tribe?
Vula.
And that's with Shaheen, Kyle, yeah. Right? The yeah. new one, right? That's the new Vula.
Yep.
Like those four, they've come together, which seems to be a great four.
Yeah.
And I do think all four of them, once they get to the merge, are going to use those relationships with their previous members of their tribes to make that army even bigger without them even knowing it. So I think there's going to be a little bit of both. I do believe that those four are a power four right now, and they're going to take advantage of this merge or this swap, I mean, and the merge when it comes next episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I feel like that group of four probably brings in Eva. So now they have five. So now you're in an 8-5 situation. We know David and Charity aren't working together. So really at this point, whichever one of those you pull in, now you need one more person. And then you have
Eva and Charity aren't working together. Mm-hmm. Do Mary and Say form this alliance that no one would ever suspect? I'm so curious.
Yeah. Yeah, compelling stuff. All right.
Yeah.
Who do you have as the safest person for the week?
This is just for the week, right?
Just for the week. Yeah. So this is like fake power rankings. We're not doing like who's going to win.
Eva is the safest. Look, I'm representing her merch here.
Okay.
You know, do it for my girl. I think she's the safest, and I don't think there's any question about that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to also put Eva at number one, and even if she's not the safest this week, I just feel like Eva deserves that number one spot after the week that we just had.
Can we just talk about that for a second?
Yeah.
I was on Survivor, and I remember I cried like 100 times out there, and they didn't show it one time, and that's totally fine. I'm not bitching about that. Mm-hmm. But I do remember, like, every time it would come, like, okay, I don't want to cry right now. So, like, suppress that right now. You don't, but it does take some courage to be vulnerable out there and do that. And, dude, she was the most vulnerable, I'm sure, in her life in that moment. And I just respected the hell out of it. And, like, that's why it deserves a second airing. Yeah. She's getting so much love right now. And I just respect the hell out of her, appreciate it, and gives a lot of perspective on life, like on the island, in playing Survivor, no food, you're away from your family, all that stuff that we all talk about. But then having one of your episodes live in front of the world like that, and then to be able to come and fight back and be like, yo, look, there's nothing wrong with me. This is who I am. And that's great. And so look at me now. And I just loved it, man.
Yeah. And the fact that it was coming off of the win, right? Like she had her episode. She had her episode while performing the challenge, and she didn't have anybody who could come over and comfort her. Like she was on her own. Her tribe doesn't know what she's really going through here.
Right.
The only one who knows is Joe, and Jeff obviously knows, but Joe is over there on another mat. So he can't comfort her. He can't come up behind her. Like if they were on the same tribe, Joe comes up to her, calm down, take a breath. Yep. That moment happens before she actually does this. But for her to overcome that anyway and just get it done and win that challenge, like I feel like, and maybe they're not even rooting for it, but like the only people who were probably rooting against Eva in that moment were the people whose family members were on the other tribe that she was competing against. But even they might've been like, man, I kind of hope Eva wins this.
Yeah, exactly. And even Joe, like he's got this information, this knowledge about her, and it must have been agonizing for him to watch this thing go down. And like, you know, thankfully, and that's why Jeff is so great. The awareness to be like, yo, Joe, do your thing, man. Mm-hmm. And Joe, like in a heartbeat, goes over there and it's like everything is good. And so kudos to everyone. That was just an awesome moment.
And I feel like the negative that some people are trying to find in this is like Jeff inserted himself into the situation, blah, blah, blah. I totally disagree.
Or negative. This is new to me.
Yeah. So yeah, I know people are never negative in the Survivor discourse here, but the only complaint that I've really seen about this episode is why did Jeff have to like insert himself into the situation and you know, he makes it like a bigger thing. And then Joe goes over and like, whatever. I feel like it's total nonsense. I feel like people just want to nitpick Jeff at this point, just to nitpick him. They can't help themselves.
Fuck him, man. I mean, I have a
podcaster who does this with me who nitpicks Jeff all the time. And even he didn't get this nitpicky. He thought Jeff handled this perfectly. And I think what was so important and why Jeff did have to insert himself into the situation is because if Jeff doesn't allow Joe to go over and talk to Eva here, then Jeff and CBS and production kind of are taking advantage of the situation.
Absolutely.
They're kind of exploiting Eva here because they know what she's going through. And they're sending her back anyway. And now she can't get out of her own head. She can't come down from that episode in the way that she needs to. So I feel like this was handled as perfectly as it possibly could be. And I thought it made for a great moment of TV. And yeah, like Jeff didn't insert himself at all. I feel like Jeff handled this. Jeff deserves his Emmy for what he did in this episode.
Yeah. Though I think those people forget to realize that Jeff has been doing this for 48 seasons.
Yeah.
And he does not need to insert himself in anything or any glory. Like that's just a stupid ass thing to think about. So whatever.
Yeah. Good. I'm glad we're in agreement on that. All right.
Yeah.
So we got Eva at one, both of us in the same spot. Hard not to put her there. So now we get into a little bit more of the meat and potatoes. Who do you have at number two?
Dude, I like went so many different, like my top 10 is like, I feel like they're all 1A, 1B, 1C. Okay. But I went with Camilla at number two. I sent a text to a lot. We have a little group chat going on with some of the people on 47. And I'm watching this episode. And I fucking love Camilla. Mm-hmm. Her game. I feel like that her and Kyle are, they ain't going anywhere. Mm-hmm. And then the four that they got with Joe and Shaheen, and she's tight with the previous alliance. I'm sorry, the previous tribe. Like, she has no enemies. You know, she the enemies that she had, they're in an alliance with her. Kyle is the one who used the idol. So when they get to the merge, he will be more of a bigger threat than Camilla. So that's who I'm going with at number two.
Yeah, I feel you on this. And this is, I had Lauren O'Connell on last week, and she was pretty much saying, like, the first half of these people, I'm just giving you numbers to give you numbers. But, like, I feel like they're all very safe. Yeah. And I do feel like that's the case this week as well. Like, as you're saying, you have Camilla at two. I don't have Camilla at two, but I easily could have put Camilla at two.
Because yeah,
there's really no reason for her to go home in this situation. Instead, I actually am, and maybe this is too short-sighted, but I am going to put Joe at two. Because I think Joe gained a lot of respect from every single person on that show last week. And I think that everybody saw what Joe did for Eva in that moment. And yeah, they're going to say, this Joe guy's a little scary. We can't let him get to the end. But at the same time, we know Kyle, Camilla, and Shaheen aren't voting for him. We know Eva's not voting for him. And he can't vote for himself. So he's already got five people out of 13. He needs two more. And David giving him that point, and you're going to have somebody like Mitch, who was over there sobbing. Like, Mitch is crying his eyes out on that mat. You have Chrissy, who came out and said so loud, good for you, Joe. We really appreciate that, Joe. You have everybody seeing that he's not a problem now. He's a problem later. You don't want him sitting in the final three, because right now Joe might be the most liked survivor in the history of the show.
Right.
He's probably batting 1,000, which is very hard to do in this community. Yeah. But for this week, I think he cruises past this vote. Nobody's looking at him as the big, strong challenge threat. They're looking at him as the guy who was there for the woman who was in need. And they're saying, I want to know this guy. I don't want to vote this guy out. So I have him at two.
Yeah. Just so you know, like, my 1 through 8 could all have been number two.
Yeah. That's what makes this fun when you have this many people left.
Actually, 1 through 9. I could say, I'll get there.
Can I tell you, though, like, the importance of you at least getting the person in fifth place? Rome did this with me week one, and he had Kevin in fourth, and Kevin went home. So you got to at least have your person lower than fourth, you know, so that you can be like, I beat Rome in this game. So that's just don't get too lax here at the top. Okay. So that's all I'm saying. Don't get too
lax. Okay, you got it. Thanks for the heads up.
Yeah. I just wanted you to know who do you have at number three?
Chrissy. I got Chrissy at number three. I feel like she's just playing this under the radar game. No one's really talking about her. And when it comes to safety, I just don't think she's got a lot of people on her side. And so when they, like, Mitch, now Cedric, who knows what's going to happen with Mary and Say, but she has one enemy right now, and that's Say. And she has an opportunity to make that go away, because they all voted for Bianca and kept staying in the game. So we'll see.
I wonder if Mitch, because that's why I'm having a hard time with where to rank Mitch and where to rank Chrissy. I wonder if Mitch is going to be mad at Chrissy, because Say was obviously trying to get Chrissy out of the game. Chrissy votes to keep Say in, and now she can use that as a positive for herself. But Mitch still voted for Say. So is Mitch going to be pissed at Chrissy and maybe be a little wary of Chrissy moving forward, because now Mitch has been left out to dry and just voted for the most chaotic member left in the game? And could that potentially hurt Chrissy coming into this episode? Or do you think Mitch is just going to be like, all right, you told me what you needed to do. I'm going to be watching you over here, but I'll work with you for a couple votes.
I think that Mitch is going to understand that Chrissy got this information very, very late and knew that Mitch was not going home, and that they had to get rid of Bianca, because Bianca lied to you, Mitch.
Yeah.
She just didn't lie to me. She lied to all of us. And I did this for us. I think she can sell that story to Mitch. And Mitch is a guy that will listen, and he's not too emotional. he will have the awareness. And yeah, I think it's going to make them better. Mm-hmm. I actually have Mitch at number four.
Do you have Mitch at four? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I have, do you think that there's a challenge threat aspect of Mitch that's scary to people at this point? He kept being good at challenge. That's a
great question. Cause he has just been like, dude, whenever you're getting Steph Curry comparisons, I mean, that's pretty damn good. I don't know, Phil. I can tell you as a viewer from a fan, yes, but I can also see as a player, is that being overlooked, you know, because he's such a charming guy and he's not like this huge, you know, monster like David or Joe. But that's where like guys like Kyle, you know, in my season, he doesn't look like this threat, but it took, you know, three immunity challenges in a row before we're like, okay, you know what I'm saying? Like it takes more and more evidence or more and more data for you to be like, yo, this dude is a threat physically. So I think Mitch is just starting to get there in terms of like the audience on the TV knows it, but from the game, that's where I think they are.
Yeah. And I think what's helping Mitch right now is even as they're seeing him be great at challenges, at the end of the day, he's always going to be kind of viewed as an underdog in people's minds because he's smaller, he has a stutter. Like he has these things that you can easily look at and say, okay, if I was playing pickup basketball with him and he hit a couple shots, I'd be like, okay, is that going to be consistent or is that just he got lucky? And I feel like right now people might be looking at Mitch as, oh, he just got a little lucky. Like I'm not going to worry about him. There's still bigger fish fry. Cause no matter what, right? Like if you're playing a physical game with somebody, even if the smallest person there starts to do the best, you're still scared that the biggest person there could turn it on at any moment.
Yeah, so you feel exactly.
Like, take care of that person and we'll let the other, you know, it's almost like when you're playing a basketball game against somebody, like their best player can score 30 points. If we shut him down and the team still beats us, like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
It happens. Sports analogy. What are you, a sports editor?
I know, right? Who would have known, right? Who would have known? I can't help myself. Yeah. We got Mitchell Jordan over here from Mo. This is the real Mo.
Mitchell Jordan.
So my three and four, I'm actually going to go Shaheen and I'm going to go Kyle. And I might have Shaheen a little high here. But the thing is with Loggy losing Thomas and losing Bianca now, I'm talking original Loggy. Mm-hmm. They came into this swap with six people. Siva had six people and Vula was down to three.
Right.
Now with Loggy losing two, I think Siva becomes public enemy number one. I think like Vula and Loggy could say, why don't we get rid of a Siva member so that that number goes down to five? Because they could be scary if all six of them bond together. Now, we as an audience know Charity's not going to work with all of them. We know that that's not going to happen because we've seen that. But if they're on the island, they don't necessarily know that. So I think Shaheen's target level, his threat level has actually dropped significantly. And I do think that there is a chance Eva and Star join Joe, Shaheen, Kyle, and Camilla. And because of that, I feel like Shaheen's in a very good middle position. He's not super threatening with challenges. They might see him as a strategist, but you don't really know that yet. Like the guy went to one tribal council and his closest ally went home. So how much of a strategist is he really? And then I put Kyle at four above Camilla because I just feel like Kyle is so unassuming. It's crazy. And that we did get that clip right before the tribe swap of Kyle potentially wanting to work with David and wanting to work with Mitch. And they showed us that. And then there was a tribe swap and none of that has come to fruition yet. And so for me, I feel like the editors put that in for a reason to kind of hint at us that something's coming. So there's still so much more of Kyle's story that still needs to be told. That's why I give him the slight edge over Camilla. But then I ultimately have Camilla at five, because as you can see, my top five is that group of four who had the conversation about their parents and Eva. So at the end of the day, I feel like they're all safe, but I'll give Kyle the slight edge to Camilla.
Yeah, I have Kyle at five. So we're thinking similarly here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm far, the only real difference is
Kyle's been playing great. Mm-hmm. Excited to see what he and Camilla can do. Who do you have at five?
I have Camilla at five.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so you have Chrissy and Mitch in your top five. I have Shaheen and Joe. I might be playing with my heart more than my brain on that, but you know.
Well, that's what I'm saying. This one is like, you could just flip flop these and I'd be like, yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. So who do you have at six?
David.
That's who I also have at six. So there you go.
Yeah, I feel like David is very safe right now. He has one enemy with Charity, and the way that she views him is wrong. He's actually picking up on it. He knows exactly where he is in that relationship, and everyone loves the dude. He's hilarious. And it's surprising too, because he's so jacked, and that, you know, no one's like, hey, you see David, he's going to be, no one has said that yet. So maybe it's too early for that right now, but yeah, I think he's sitting pretty.
So we had the very emotional scene there with Eva and Joe. Did you also tear up when David was reunited with Milk and it was whole milk, not 2%?
Absolutely. Like, my heart for him was, it was one of the best moments besides Eva in Survivor history. No, but I will say this. You got me on here, right, Phil? Mm-hmm. The feeling that you get in your brain, in your body, in your heart, when you are getting some food that you love at home and you haven't gotten it and you hadn't eaten shit in a week, everything hits so much harder. And when I watched him eat that or drink that milk, I was like, yes, dude, I know what you're talking about right now. I'm feeling that so much. To this day, the ribs, look how passionate I'm getting right now. The ribs, the potato salad, the soda, that meal that we won, that was the best meal of my life. And it's like, it brought me back so hard when he was drinking that milk. And he's like, yeah, I want everyone to like fast for a week and just fucking struggle through it. And then go to your favorite restaurant and tell me how much better that dinner is going to be. Just do it. And you'll say, I know what Saul's talking about. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it's funny you even say that. On this, like, last Thursday, I went like 14 hours without eating. And then I just feasted on barbecue.
Oh, that a baby Bill.
And it was great. I had my wife, when we were placing the order, she's like, are you really going to eat all this? I'm like, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I ate everything. I had mac and cheese. I had a brisket sandwich. I had a hot sausage.
Yeah.
I had cornbread. I had beans. And she was like, that was kind of disgusting. I felt awful after, but it tasted so good. I didn't mind that I suffered. And that was only like 14 hours of eating. I can't even imagine when you've gone days and days. Now, here was my thing. And I got a lot of flack for this. And maybe it is. I mean, now, you know, you sell the staplers. I get stapled. But you have like nothing in your system. And you just go out there and you're just chugging a thing of whole milk.
Yeah.
That's not going to sit well, right? Like, that has to sit terribly in your stomach.
You don't give two shits about that.
You are giving them later, though. That's for sure.
Yes, you are. You're getting five of them later. To give you a little backstory, after the ribs, I'm going there, Phil.
I'm ready.
That was the first time that I took what is called an LD, a land dump. Mm-hmm. Because all the other ones have been aqua dumps. And that was the best best LD I've ever taken.
I love it. So there you go. That's what they don't show on Survivor, except for like in the old seasons. I remember when Stephen Fishback had gastrointestinal distress back during Second Chances. And so he like ate whatever. And then like, they literally just had a montage of Steven having to shit for like 4 or 5 minutes. And it's so brutal to watch, but they skip.
Why have I not seen this?
Oh, you got to watch that episode. I forget which episode it is, but he literally has, they give you the hashtag gastrointestinal distress and he just can't stop pooping.
What a hashtag.
I know. And they don't show that stuff anymore. You know, now it's like, oh, they all got their food and they went back. And it's like, you guys, man. Yeah. That's what I always think about, because I'm like, I'm not going out there and drinking half a gallon of milk on an empty stomach and then going back to camp and being like, yeah, I'm not going to hurl at
all. I think he did throw up, he said, or he's got to throw up. He felt like he had to.
Yeah. Exactly. Damn. But yeah, I love where David's at in this game. And I've been saying, I actually feel like David's getting the winner edit on the season. I know talking edit sometimes drives people crazy, but it's like, when I look at what David is getting, he has not been to a single tribal council. And we know so much about this guy. We know that he has sisters. we know that he's aligned with. We know he has a good read on charity. We know that a lot of people want to work with him. We know that his backstory, we heard twice about his girlfriend. We heard that he lives in a trailer in front of his dad's house. We know his favorite movie. We know how he likes his steak. We know more personally about him than we do about half the people who played from season 31 to 39. So when I watch all that, I'm like, I only have him at 6 because he still is massive. And now he's got milk in him. Who knows how good he's going to be at these challenges. But when I look at his game and what we've seen so far, I'm like, we know so much about this guy and we don't need to know anything about him because he hasn't had to go to tribal council yet. So I think that's very telling.
Yeah, I agree. Hold on. Did I lose you?
No, you're good. Can you hear me?
All right. Yeah. I just got a phone call. Okay. We're good.
Oh, yeah. You're all good. Everything is still good.
He's feels so safe to me right now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. What's your take on Notting Hill? Have you seen Notting Hill?
I love Notting Hill. And who was it? Was that your guest? I'm sticking up for David here. Notting Hill is, it's up there for me. Mm-hmm. And dude, he's quoting the movie. He's quoting lines. You know, I'm just a girl.
Yeah.
So this is a true story. After that episode, I'm flying to Sam's wedding in Chicago. After I watched myself on the plane, because Delta has Survivor. They only have five episodes. Ego. After watching myself on television, I was searching and I watched 13 Going on 30. Mm-hmm. I forgot how, or no, I'm sorry. 10 Things I Hate About You was on the plane. I watched it. I forgot how damn good that movie is. So I've been on a kick of rom-coms. I watched 13 Going on 30, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, all in the past like week and a half.
Mm-hmm. You have a favorite here?
My favorite rom-com is probably You've Got Mail.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Second is When Harry Met Sally.
Yeah, When Harry Met Sally.
You know what I'm saying?
But I feel like When Harry Met Sally is the classic. That's the one my wife always goes back to. So that's the one that I hadn't seen it until I met my wife. And now I think I've watched it like 4 or 5 times. That one never gets old. And that's also one of those like 80s movie, but it's the same movie. Like, as they just don't have cell phones.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's the only difference. That's good.
It's like, for me, it's like, I love this dude. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like he's like liking rom-coms. And when have we ever heard a rom-com quote on Survivor?
Yeah. From the biggest guy on the season.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, but yeah, Lauren went in, she had strong feelings about Notting Hill, but I feel like Lauren gave a pretty good list of movies there.
She did. Yeah.
But just no Notting Hill love. And then she still listed off 2 Hugh Grant movies. It was just, or 2 Julia Roberts movies.
She was just a little hard on him.
Yeah. Poor David. David's a sentimental guy, Lauren.
Yeah.
I know the repercussions after that came out. I was like, Lauren, you broke the man.
But it was a cool topic to talk about.
It was fun. Yeah. And also, like, Lauren was very passionate about that, which I like, because I think David's very passionate about it too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big fans of Lauren.
Yeah. I love Lauren. Love having her on. She also had David at spot 6 last week. I have the rankings written down right here. So we're all just in alignment. Whether we agree with this taste of movies or not, we're all putting it up
at the top every week. Safe.
Yeah. Who do you have at 7?
Joe Daddy. I got Joe at 7. Joe ain't going anywhere. Everybody loves Joe. What else is there to say? Mm-hmm. I mean, he saved the day in that emotional moment. And they re-aired it on Saturday night primetime. Mm-hmm. Like, Joe ain't going home next episode.
Yeah. You think about, you know, speaking of rom-coms, you talk about like serendipitous here, right? Serendipitous. You like what I did there. So when you look at this, you have Joe, who's somebody who comes onto the show because of a domestic abuse situation, domestic violence situation with his sister, who loved the show and passed because of this situation. And he comes on the show and he gets cast on the season with the first openly autistic player, at least in the history of Survivor. Mm-hmm. And he is being this rock for her. Mm-hmm. And you think about those types of moments of like, there have been 48 seasons of this show. There have been like thousands and thousands and thousands of people who have applied for this show. And these two end up on this season after everything that would bring them to this moment. And I just think it's fascinating because if Joe's on any season, Joe's going to be likable, right? Like people are going to go for Joe. But the fact that Joe starts on the same tribe as Eva, and this is the story he's getting, And it worked out like that. Yeah, there's production who's like, we're going to put Joe and Eve on the same tribe. But they don't know how this is going to work out.
No, they don't
know that you and Rome are going to butt heads in the way that you did. Like, they don't know exactly how it's going to happen. So when I look at this, I'm just like, there's something so like, I don't know, it's almost like magical about that. Of those two, just at the right place at the right time. And it's a beautiful thing. And I just think, like, good for Joe for being there in this. And it's been cool to see them doing this kind of mid-season interviews with Dalton Ross and with Mike Bloom over at Parade. It's been really fun to see those kinds of things because, I mean, these are – it's just, like, it's so human. It's so real. It's just – it's unbelievable. So, yeah, Joe Daddy, well-earned. Joe Daddy.
Well-deserved. You safe, baby.
There you go.
Who do you have at seven?
Who do I have at seven? I'm Mary. I love Mary. I think Mary's in a good spot. I feel like Cedric and Say might butt heads with each other. I don't feel like the Vulas are going to be gone after at this point. I feel like if they do go after him, though, it would be, hey, let's vote out Say because maybe she's rubbing people the wrong way or playing too aggressive, or let's vote out Cedric because, God, the guy won't make a decision for the life of him, something like that. But I feel like Mary's in a good spot. It feels like Mary's tribe likes her, at least the tribe that she got swapped to. I think she's totally unthreatening, so I'll put her smack in the middle here and say that I would be pretty shocked if Mary went home.
Yeah, I'll leave my comments for later.
Gotcha. Who do you have at eight?
I have Shaheen at eight.
Okay.
Yeah, like Shaheen is, again, with that group of four. Really smart guy. The tribal council that he went to, it took a idol for him to lose his alliance member in Thomas. I just feel like the four of those, that four, Camilla, Joe, Kyle, Shaheen, I feel like they're all safe.
Yeah.
That four is going to remind me of the 45.
Mm-hmm. The Reba four. Yep.
I mean, there's a reason that we saw that pack. You know, where it's like, yo, us four. And then you got Camilla going, like, at the end of that scene going, we're going to run this game. Mm-hmm. It felt pretty powerful to me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think I'm putting him in there with that group.
Yeah, if that was the final four plus Eva, like, if that's your final five, nobody's surprised. Like, that's the story we've seen early on. Exactly. Here, at least. That would make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, my number eight, I'm actually going to go with Star. And nobody's really said Star's name yet, you know, but I feel like big growth from Star last week. And I'm not saying that she was like immature prior to this. I think this is one of the harder edits to have to discuss because I do like she's playing Survivor. She's annoyed by Eva. She wants Eva out of the game. She doesn't trust Eva. She doesn't know like what Eva's going through or anything like that. So I can't fault Star. And then as soon as like you really see people's true colors when they do have all the information. And as soon as Star had all the information, she became the good person that we knew she was going to be. So you might be watching those first couple episodes being like, oh man, she's like kind of like going after the girl with autism here. Like what's going on? But then at the same time, once she knew, it was immediately like she was more pumped for Eva than Eva was. Like she was so excited. And I thought that was awesome for Star. And I think that Star now goes into this merge where I think the other loggies, the original loggies, will say, you know what, Star, like Eva's going to tell them what happened and how she got the idol and everything like that. And I think there's going to be a significant form of respect there. And I think that alliance, that tribe is so built on respect. They're a little bit more like old school in their Survivor way of thinking rather than how can I be conniving and backstab. It's like, I respect you. Let's work together. I think Star is actually going to be pretty protected here coming into this next episode. So I'm going to put her at eight.
I have Star at nine.
Okay.
And I put Star at, like, I'm with you, man. I think that she's kind of put herself in that group of four plus Eva. Mm-hmm. You know, her alliance with Bianca and Thomas is gone. So, you know, she's thinking on her feet, like, what else can I do? She put herself, she's in this situation. I was convinced 30 minutes ago by David that the idol play giving it to her was not such a bad move. In fact, Eva says in that last episode, oh my gosh, like I didn't like Star. Now I do. Mm-hmm. So, I feel like she's pretty safe too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hear you though with that, with the edit of Star. It's like, that's a tough one, you know? But yes, that was so cool to see when she opens up about her family and what she's gone through and how the human element of Star coming out for Ava. So yeah, I love Star. That's I'm excited to see what happens to her. And I think she's safe too, even though she's at number 9.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. We're starting to get down now to like who could go, but yeah, my number 9, I'm going to go Mitch. And I do think Mitch is in a little danger, but not like a lot of danger, because again, we already talked about it. Like Mitch isn't somebody who they're necessarily going to look at as a challenge threat, even though they should. One of my favorite things, and I think it was the Drop Your Buffs podcast. If it's somebody else, I apologize, but they had posted on Instagram where it was like, Cedric literally is defying gravity with this challenge when he bounced the ball and it came back to him instead of going the other way. Yeah. Meanwhile, you have Mitch who made every single shot for his try. Yeah. And so I think that, like, you know, Mitch should be seen as more of a threat than he's being seen as, but Mitch has that. I can kind of lay low. He's kind of like, are you a Usual Suspects fan?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's kind of got that like verbal Kent thing, you know, where it's like he can be under the radar. Nobody's going to take him seriously. And then it's like, oh, crap. Like he's dictating the game and the story that's being told here.
Right.
I could see that because, you know, you're always going to be unsuspecting. I mean, that's just kind of like how society has raised us. Like, okay, like Mitch is an underdog automatically. But then when you watch Mitch interact with people, when you watch Mitch perform in challenges, he's not an underdog at all. But when will people realize that? The only reason I put him as a little bit of in danger is because we know he's a threat. We know that if Mitch gets to the end, Mitch could easily win this game. So that's why I put him at 9. But in reality, with what they're seeing on the island, Mitch might be one of the safest people out there.
Dude, it's one of those things where as a player, you forget that every single person that is on this show, in this game, went through the same process that you did. And it's fucking hard. Mm-hmm. And you gotta want it. And you can overcome some stuff to, you know, to prove to the people on CBS and Survivor that you deserve to be on this show. And because there's a stutter, do you forget that? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm guilty of that, I'm sure too. Like Caroline, you know, very unassuming but freaking monster of the game of Survivor. And you forget, bro, she went through the same process that you did. And, you know, if you don't look back and go, okay, and remember that, then it's going to screw you up in this game. Mm-hmm. And that's where we are right now. I feel like,
pretty much if you're underestimating anybody, when you go out to play Survivor, you're being foolish, right? Cause even Caroline from season 44, who makes it all the way to final 3, she doesn't get a vote, but who would have thought that Carolyn, when they rewatched that season, they probably said, man, Carolyn was doing more than I gave her credit for with the birdcage, making the X and all that. I mean, there was game there. And I think that, you know, we're kind of past the point of a guaranteed goat being cast. People might come out there and play the game and be goats by the time they get to the end because it doesn't fall their way. I mean, I talk about Owen Knight all the time because Owen Knight's a zero vote finalist. Owen Knight plays any other season of Survivor and makes the final 3. He's probably getting at least a couple votes, if not winning the game, but it just so happened that on his season, he wasn't able to get his footing and play the game he needed to play to beat Gabler or Cassidy. It happens, but I feel like they're past the point of just casting obvious goats when they're casting the show. And I think that's better for the game because all 18 people truly do have a chance to win.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So you did 9. I had Mitch at 9. Who do you have at 10?
Cedric, my man, Cedric. Doctor, what's Cedric's last name?
McFadden.
Dr. McFadden. That's who I have at 10. I have him here because I just feel like he has too many potential enemies, too many potential people to be like, yo, here's what he did. And I'm going to tell Joe this. I'm going to tell Star this. And it's like, all right, well, why don't we go after Cedric? There's too many reasons to go after Cedric, Dr. McFadden.
I think Cedric's in a lot of trouble this week. Did you watch the Instagram of him reading the mean quotes and stuff?
No.
Oh, it was good.
I do follow him, but I didn't.
It was a good one of like his assistant or something was like reading off mean comments from the internet. And he just
said, oh, really? I love it when they do that.
It was very good.
there was
one who she was like, they called you a dumb T. He's like, T. She's like, it's an insult. I don't know if I can say it here. And he's like, well, what would be T? And he literally confessed. She's like, twat. Am I allowed to say twat?
Dude, I love the internet, the words that they use. I've learned so much in this past year about these words that I didn't know, you know, what they mean and everything. And I love to say them, but I won't. Mm-hmm. But, you know, because I don't want to get in trouble by who. I don't know who I'd get in trouble for.
Yeah.
But teeny is my dictionary. Mm-hmm. About this kind of stuff. And yeah, I love it. There, speaking of internet and moments like that. So there's this tweet that I'm turning into a tank top. Mm-hmm. I'm in the process of doing it now. I'm not doing, but a fan is, he's making it for me. There is a tweet to Teeny that says, honey, you ain't got no game, ... What's even your gender, bro?
It's just a mess.
It's so good, and it's such a mess. And I'm only laughing because Teeny thinks it's funny too. Mm-hmm. But like, where do the people come up with this?
Like with
stuff?
Honey and bro both thrown in there,
right?
Like,
yeah. You know, what is it, Mr. T? What did he say?
They called you a dumb T or something like that.
Dumb T.
Yeah. Well, I thought one of Teeny's best tweets last year, one of my favorites, was when she just tweeted out, what was it? Imagine me having to explain to Genevieve what mother meant after this. And that was a good thing. Like, I love that because Will and I, for our Patreon, you can see it there at the bottom. We did a Q&A that we're releasing this Friday where somebody had asked us a question of who are the biggest mothers in Survivor history. And I follow all this stuff on social media, so I have some sort of definition of mother. Yeah. Will has no social media. So when I'm saying that to Will, Will's like, I don't know what this means. Like, are they moms?
I'm
like,
you know.
Yeah. And I'm like explaining it to him. And I feel like I'm like, I needed Teeny to pop up out of the woodwork and just be like, Will, this is what a mother is.
Yes. Okay. Yes. And she would do a great job with it too.
So yeah, I love like all of that and everything. I think that sometimes over there on the internet, people got to find some things to do. I know yesterday, one of the cast members here was going through it from 48 because like they like dug up some old Instagram video they did or something. And then we're going after their politics. And the person was like, what, how does this confirm anything? And like, see, you're confirming it even more. And I'm just like, you all got to go out. It was a Saturday afternoon. Like it was probably nice wherever you live, go outside. It's okay.
Yeah.
Those, it's crazy.
Those are annoying.
Yeah. So, you know, you got the balance. But you got to find the balance. Funny. What'd you say?
T is funny.
Yes, T is funny.
Like, if it's funny, give it to me.
Yeah.
But if it's dumb and, like, stop. Like, yeah. I don't want that.
Yeah, people get too personal with it. But, I mean, when you showed up with the painted nails and the vest with nothing under it, the internet exploded. And I was like, my God, now we got the Saul love going on over here when you showed up to the tribal council. And it was like, all right, Saul, you just became the internet's favorite. So you probably loved that week after all that happened.
I'm riding that train. Your boy Saul, Daddy, has a picture of himself on his own water bottle.
So here is Saul. For anybody who's wondering what Saul was doing on his way to Sam's wedding, he's wearing a tank top with a quote from his season. He's got his water bottle with a picture of himself, and he's watching himself on the TV. And people are looking at this guy, going, "Who is this psychopath? Who is on my plane with me?" And because not enough people watch Survivor that you're going to get somebody on your plane who's probably going to recognize you, but they're all looking at you going, that guy really likes himself. There's something going on there.
I'm watching Survivor on the plane and like the people next to me, I'm like, can you see the screen?
Yeah. Yeah. You want to make sure.
Didn't happen, but yeah.
Hey, some one of these days, you do it long enough, one of these days, somebody's going to go, oh, shit, that's the guy.
Is that you?
It's the guy.
You're like, it is.
It is. When you hire your own private jet, right? And you're like, okay, you have to be a Survivor fan to come on the jet with me.
I like that better. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, man. Okay. Well, there you go. That's if anybody wondering what Saul's doing, if you're not sure it's Saul, if there is a Saul picture around him, on him somewhere, it's Saul.
That's yeah, exactly. There ain't no pictures or quotes, it ain't him.
It's not him.
Yeah.
All right. Did I do my 10? I did not do my 10. I have Say at 10. I think Say is safer than Chrissy and Cedric, who made the decision last week, and safer than Charity. I think that Say, I know that we just watched your season where Rome got voted out because he was an easy target and everybody could agree, let's get rid of him, right? He was rubbing people the wrong way. He was playing too aggressive. Let's get rid of him. And Say could fall into that same boat. But when I'm looking at Say, I'm saying, what threat does Say pose? She doesn't have enough people that she can align with. There's not enough people out there who know her and are willing to work with her. Mitch just wrote her name down. Chrissy saved her out of absolute necessity. Cedric is probably got her back, but Mary, I'm not totally sold that Mary has Say's back. And everybody else over there, they're going to meet Say now for the first time. And their only interactions with Say so far are things such as the Matt chat of, oh, win with whatever, be humble, win with tactfulness. You know, she says that. I don't know if people are going to be like, yeah, they might be annoyed by her, but I don't think they're going to be all that worried about her actually winning the game. I'm using Say as a number as long as I possibly can. So I think she's in danger. That's why I have her at 10. But I think that there's a couple people who are in more danger than she is. Uh-oh. That was a smirk that said I have her at 13, but I guess we'll get there soon.
I have Say at 13, and sorry to go out of order. Mm-hmm. Here's my thing. I actually agree with everything that you just said, and something that I wasn't thinking about. Like, they could use her as a number, but I feel like Say is one of those people that she ain't going to be just a number.
Yeah.
And what we've seen so far is the start, if you will. I think her character is going to get bigger, and things are going to happen even more. Here's why I chose her at 13. I have Chrissy in the top three. Mm-hmm. And we saw her and Chrissy not get along. And what we saw was Chrissy going like, yo, you sat out this challenge and you're eating this. You're the first one to eat the fruit. That stuff matters. Mm-hmm. And when you get that feedback, it's like, what are you going to do with that feedback? Mm-hmm. Are you going to get pissed off and be like, this girl's a psychopath. I'm an adult. I can eat fruit. Or are you going to go, oh, shit, I'm rubbing some people the wrong way, and this person is telling me, what am I going to do with this information? And I felt like Say went on this path of, you can't talk to me like that. And that's not good gameplay to last in Survivor. To your point, though, maybe people will see that and be like, yo, Say ain't winning this game. Let's keep her in as a number. But I feel like that she's on target for Chrissy. She's going to be upset because she wasn't in on the Bianca vote. So I feel like she's probably not going to be happy about that. Maybe create even more enemies. So that's why I have her at 13.
Everything you just said is why I have Chrissy at 12, because I feel like Chrissy versus Say is a legitimate thing that could happen.
Yeah.
And I think the reason why I'm more concerned for Chrissy, so I have Cedric at 11. We've talked a lot about Cedric, so I don't feel like I need to dive more into him. Yeah. I have him at 11. I have Chrissy at 12, and then I have Charity at 13. But the reason why I'm so worried about Chrissy is if Chrissy comes up as a potential boot, right? If it's Say or Chrissy, I think people are going to look at the numbers and say, why does Siva get to still have six people? Let's vote out an original Siva member. Now, I understand that those alliances have dwindled and that people have kind of found their own thing, right? They've found their own niche that they don't need to, you know, work just with their original alliances. We might not see any original tribes get back together, really. But I feel like there's still that thought in the back of your mind of there are six Sivas left in the game.
Yeah.
If we let them get through this vote with all of their members, it is now 6-6 at best the rest of the game. And yes, they could still turn on each other. But if they wake up and say, oh, we could just go Siva strong to the very end and be final six. And then if you're Camilla and Kyle and David, you start saying, we're probably the three in that six. Charity's the six. So we get rid of her. Now we have the numbers. Now we're the final three. It starts to be something you could think about. So I do feel that while there's plenty of reasons to get rid of Say, I actually think Chrissy's in more danger due to her starting tribe and due to the fact that we haven't really seen her be super in with anybody on her tribe. She's played well, but even last week when she made the most impactful move of the game thus far, we didn't actually get any of her reasoning. We didn't get anything about why she might potentially want to boot Bianca. So I'm still in the dark on her. So I'm worried about her, but at the end of the day, I have Charity in last because I think that her reads on David have been so wrong. David, I feel like, is in a power position. And if Siva is going to get rid of somebody, she is the one that everybody's going to be willing to sacrifice, because the only one who has been shown to have any type of relationship with her is Mitch. So I think she's doomed. But that's why I have her at 13. But it's funny, everything you're saying about why you would put Say at 13 is why I'm putting Chrissy ultimately next to last.
Yeah. It's Chrissy. I think Chrissy for me is like, I'm going to go with what you said, which is making me put her so high, is that I don't know much about Chrissy.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to come.
Yeah.
They're going to share it at some point.
Yeah.
That's why I have her up so high as well. Like that's another reason that I didn't mention.
Gotcha.
Are we going up from the back now?
Well, yeah. So just who did you have at 11 and 12? That's all we're missing.
I had Mary at 11. And I do put in parentheses next to Mary, and I have no other parentheses next to any other player, is that a great ability to be an awesome free agent.
Mm-hmm.
I think Mary has that. So if she can scoot by these next couple of rounds, I think she can do a good job. I have Charity behind Mary, followed by Say. So Mary, Charity, Say on my bottom three.
So what's your take on Charity? Since we got Mary, we got Say, what's your take on Charity? Because everybody's pretty much been in unison. I mean, Lauren had her at 14 last week. I had her low last week. And now we both have her very low this week. What's your feel on her?
I don't know who Charity's like strongest relationship. We could say Mitch, right?
Mm-hmm.
But even that would be the weakest out of the two in terms of who's the strongest, like, duo in terms of how strong their bond is. And that's just because of what we've seen so far. But other bonds, other relationships are being created as the game goes on. Mm-hmm. And Charity's not doing – we're not seeing Charity do that.
Yeah.
So it's just Mitch. I mean, Eva says, yo, Charity's – I'm getting a sense of being fake, you know? Like – is it? It could be. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter, because you're making someone feel like it's fake.
Yeah.
And so that was a tough thing to see for Charity when Eva says that, because she ain't the only one feeling that. They're just not saying it.
Yeah.
You know,
and at the end of the day, even if Charity is making great relationships that we're not seeing as an audience, we're not seeing them. So they're not meaningful to the game.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
Right. Right.
They don't matter.
I got to charge. Hold up.
Yep, you're good. All right. Well, Saul gets up. I think.
No, I'm back.
Oh, he's just back already. Okay, that was fast. I didn't have time for a plug. So the last, since we ranked them all, I got just a couple questions left for you here to end this thing. First, who do you think is going to win the season?
I have been saying Shaheen is going to win this season for a while. That's been my pick, and I'm just going to stick with it.
You're going to stick with it. Okay.
Yeah, like, he's so good at, even when he voted Kyle and they go back to the tribal council, he's like, hey, man, look, in this soft, like, warming way. Hey, man, you know, I'm just playing a game. We had to do something, buddy. And Kyle's like, yeah, man, of course, you know, and it's like, then he creates a four, you know, like, he voted someone, didn't work out for them, lost an alliance member. Yet now they have a even stronger four potentially.
Yeah.
So that's who I'm going with.
Okay. Also, a bolt of lightning just hit right here. So if I lose power, guys, it's been nice. The thunder is coming in. This is Florida in March.
No, Saul Daddy's here. Everything's going
to
be okay.
Saul Daddy's here to save the day if everything else fails. For my next question, I don't know if you know this or not, but season 50 is going to be a returning player season. I don't know if you know this. There's been no news about that.
I haven't heard about that.
People haven't been losing their minds over potential spoiler things going on this week. If you could see one person from your season play again, who would you want it to be?
One person. I mean, I got to go with the queen. Guinevere.
Okay.
I think she's just so good at the game. I was listening to some of your old stuff, and they talk about how it was with her and you and Todd Herzog. Oh, okay. Speaking of that, let me give him a little plug.
Oh yeah, here we go. Todd Herzog, he's giving away one of the prizes for our fantasy games. Look at that.
We got the safety without power right there. See that?
Yep.
Got my vest, got my red pants on. Beautiful hair.
Love it.
So what are these called again?
Pop Funkos.
If Saul doesn't have a Pop Funko right next to him, then it ain't Saul.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
He made one for Teeny, and it was perfection.
I saw it. It's amazing.
Yes. Yeah. Dude is amazing.
Yeah.
Just hit him up on Instagram. I like, hey, man, can you do this? No problem. Give me a week.
Yeah.
In a week, he hits me back up. Yo, I'm ready. Done. It was just, I was so impressed.
I love Todd and like what Todd's done. And I mean, it was surreal for me last season because when you were talking, I'm sure you, if you listen to that podcast, you heard me going goo goo over the fact that I was even talking to Todd because
as a
kid, that was my guy. Like Todd has always been one of my all time favorites.
Good for you, man. So
the fact that he's doing this stuff and making these custom pops and doing all that. And he's giving away, he gave away a prize last year. Somebody got a Mike Tomlin custom pop.
No kidding.
Yeah. So that's what, that was the prize last year. I thought that was so funny of like, you win a Survivor competition. What do you want?
Yeah.
I want Mike Tomlin. It's like, okay.
But my point of that was, I remember him saying like, she took Saul out. So now she's just screwed probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she lasts a long time.
Yeah.
And that's credit to her game to be able to adapt and maneuver herself a way around, work through the votes to almost make fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought she was, I mean, I was also totally dumbfounded that she ended up surviving that. I thought she was doomed. And so when she did make it through that, I was like, oh my God, this Genevieve person, she sure is good at Survivor. And that Operation Italy scene and everything, I was like, wow. Cause I was in the same boat as him. I can't even say that it was just Todd. I thought she was doomed. But I would love to see her play again. And I think right now she's probably the top choice that people would want from your season.
Yeah, rightfully so.
Sorry, I'm just, in case this goes out, we only have a couple minutes here left, but I'm trying to sign in on my phone because this storm really did just roll in. Okay, last question. I know we talked a little bit before, so I know you're a little fuzzy on who played in what season, but from any season, do you have a player that you would want to see back? Not somebody from your own season, but somebody from any other season who's like your top choice at this point? This is deep in thought, by the way, anybody who's only listening. Saul is staring off into space, deep in thought. And now he's got me ruining his deep in thought.
I haven't said this before, but I'm going to now. And that's Sophie.
Okay.
Yeah. So I watched Survivor. All 46 seasons of Survivor in like 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know all the names and everything like that. I love the show and I'm sitting here going like, okay, who comes to your mind first when it comes to this question? And it was Tyson.
Mm-hmm.
But then I said, okay, but would Tyson win? I'm like, I'm not sure. Who do you want to see that might could win? And I think my answer was Sophie.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
She kind of reminds me of Genevieve a little bit.
Yeah.
She's got that killer instinct. You don't know that she's thinking like, you know, so much. So Genevieve, like her brain is always going,
mm-hmm.
but you don't know it.
Yeah.
I feel like that's how, so I've never talked to Sophie, but I feel like that's how she came off across to me on the game.
Yeah. And her winners at War Game is very good. I mean, if she doesn't get booted with that idol, like she could have won that season. I don't know. She wouldn't have beaten Tony at a final three, but she could have beaten Tony before he got to a final three.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm going with Sophie and Tyson right behind Sophie.
I love that. All right. Yeah. Well, there you go. You have anything else you want to say before my power inevitably cuts out? Because this is crazy. If I could show you outside my window, I can't move my webcam far enough, but it's like monsooning outside right now. So here
you're going to be okay, Phil?
I hope so, man. I really do. The wind is kicking. everything's all I want to do is watch college basketball after this. And now I'm a little worried that I'm not even gonna be able to do that because the power's going to go out. That's what I'm worried about.
Well, I think you're going to be okay. Saul Daddy's going to send you some good vibes.
There you go. I need that. Thank you.
I'll hook up Todd one more time. Mm-hmm. Get you one of these. They're not expensive. And they're so cool. And, thank you so much for having me on, Phil. That was really fun. I'm going to be next Sunday in a week from today. Teenie and I are doing the Mafia game. It's okay. If you go to my Instagram, it's my you'll see it on my profile. Sunday, April 6th, we're going to be at where is this? It's going to be at Littlefield in Brooklyn, New York.
Okay.
So go to my Instagram. You can find if you want to get tickets and watch your boy Saul and Teeny play this game called Mafia.
There's my other screen that just came up on there. Okay. Yeah. No, play. Yeah. Go do that. And like, yeah, doing those kinds of things with Survivor players is something that I feel like would be the best time. So definitely if you're in that area, make sure you go and do that. You hear that coming through?
I'll give you a hug if you say, I'm here because I've listened to you on the show with Phil. And if you do that, I'll give you a big hug.
There you go.
Yeah.
You better take that, everybody. You better take Saul up on this. And honestly, tell Teeny too. Teeny, I got to get Teeny on this podcast. Teeny was supposed to be one of the initial guests, and then she was moving. And so I wasn't able to get her on. And now I haven't been able to reschedule it again. So I got to get Teeny on.
Can we do a three-way?
Yeah.
I'll get her to do it because we haven't done one together, and I think that would be so fun.
Especially after Caroline and Gabe did it last week. Yeah, we got to figure something out where we have you and Teeny both on. Come on and talk Survivor. I feel like that would be a good time.
Let's do it.
There you go. Well, in Brooklyn, there you go. Jump in and go play Mafia with Saul and Teeny. Anybody else going or just the two of you? Is there like any like hidden gems showing up?
You'll have to find out, Phil.
Yeah, I'm not saying the two of you aren't enough, but I know how when it comes to these Survivor events, it always starts off as like two or three people. And then by the end of it, you're like, can you believe that the entire cast of season 42 was also at the event with Saul and Teeny? Like what happened?
Oh, I definitely expect some people from Survivor to be there. Yeah.
Gotcha.
I'll be heartbroken if not, but I do expect that to happen.
I love it. Yeah, I love it. Well, tune into that. I'm going to go because things are flickering here now. So thank you all so much. Patreon.com/thespecialist. Become patrons. Get a whole bunch of stuff. Saul, this was awesome. Thank you so much, everybody. We'll be back Wednesday night recapping the episode, Will and I, right after. Otherwise, like the video, subscribe to the channel, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks, guys.